Analyzing?
Right. Analyzing.
Did you go to the village already?
No, I'm going to go at 5 or 6. Okay, we're going to start the work session, the 5:30 p.m. work session on the August 2nd town board, during the town board meeting. First thing on the list is Deep Glade stop signs and crosswalk. Al, you want to bring us up to speed?
Sure. Here's some color schematics. I know that black and white one's a little hard to read. Tony and I can look on.
So I can read this one. I got it.
Okay. I don't really need it. I'm familiar with it. So essentially right now we have an existing stop sign at Esprit Glade where it enters Deep Glade. There is an existing crosswalk where the walking path crosses into Cary Hornaday Park. It's in a tough spot from sight distance, plus during the Radisson Day Camp program, cars line up on the south side of Deep Glade here, dropping kids off, and on the north side. So you got kids coming out between cars. It's a pretty sketchy spot because the speed limit there is 45. I spoke with Lynn, who's here tonight, to say that she supports this plan and that they will relocate the trail if we move forward on our part. My thought is we fill this ditch in and place a new culvert pipe in to where the existing trail is. Install two new stop signs on Deep Glade at the intersection of Spree Glade and the entrance to Cary Hornaday Park. As you know, stop signs are not for speed control. However, it is appropriate to use stop signs to allow for safe pedestrian crossings of busy roads. Sure. So that's what we'd be doing in this instance. Use Radisson Drainage District funds to install the new culvert, install two new stop signs with crosswalk ahead signs and stop ahead signs, paid for out of the sign budget, which still has money to pay for that. Radisson in the past has always been who painted the crosswalks here. I'm assuming Radisson would be willing to paint the crosswalk like you have in the past. Mm-hmm. So they'll paint the crosswalk, they'll relocate their trail, and we'll make a much safer situation for kids crossing what's a busy road with a 45 mile an hour speed limit to get to the park.
And so this proposed culvert, Al, is that going to dissuade people from crossing over where they used to, because old habits die hard, or is that a buried pipe?
We can put some additional signage up, you know, please use crosswalk, you know, at intersection. Is there any way to stop stupidity? No. But if we can at least provide a safe access point to cross the road, we would be in a much better situation.
But that path will at least be torn up.
Yeah, we're going to take that path where it comes down to the road right out.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good. And there is a street light there.
There's a street light at the intersection of Spring Glade and Deep Glade already.
Would you recommend a light over the crosswalk or not?
Well, actually, the light is right here. We could consider adding the lights right on the opposite side.
The
lights on the opposite side of the corner. We could consider adding an additional light there, but we'll talk about that when we get into the street light conversion down the work session agenda a little bit. That's certainly a possibility to look into it. I honestly haven't gone out there at night to see how far that light shines. And if it would be adequate.
I probably wouldn't.
I don't know. I haven't been out there at night to see it. So,
I mean, if you're going to do it, adding a street light is not.
No, we just want to do it after we finalize our conversion plan.
Yep.
So it wouldn't be done this fall.
But I'm fine with what's being proposed here. Great cooperation with Radisson. Thanks for pointing out the safety concerns that you're experiencing in your park with your day camp. This is something that's, you know, for the most part, Radisson is going to be handling. They're going to be doing the crosswalk. They're going to be rerouting.
And their path, is putting the culvert pipe in and the stop signs.
We're putting stop signs in and a culvert pipe. And if it improves safety conditions at that four corners, I don't know why we would say no to that.
Is this an agenda item?
Yeah, so we have to do a local law to install the stop signs.
Okay.
The first step is to set the public hearing for the local law for the stop signs. I would install this culvert under county trench and culvert bid, so I wouldn't need to put a bid package together as long as the board gives me a blessing to go ahead and use Radisson Drainage District funds to do it.
Is that on the agenda, though?
No, in the past, we haven't necessarily done resolutions for that stuff. If you want to do one, we can.
No, I don't care.
Is the public hearing on the agenda?
Yeah, it should be. I get center of the resolution.
No, typically, maintenance...
Oh, yeah, it's Q.
Yep.
Q is on mine. It's speed study. Do I have the wrong one?
Oh.
Yeah, there's a new one. I'll get you one.
Q.
On.
Yeah. It's Q.
I just printed this one.
Public hearing.
She sent out two versions. Okay.
Yeah, I don't think... because the drainage district would pay for the movement of culvert.
Yeah.
We don't typically...
Yeah, the drainage district's expenses, unless it's signing a contract, if we're doing it with county bid, we typically don't do resolutions. So.
Okay.
But you're putting a culvert pipe from there over to there?
From where the blue line...
The blue line.
You're putting a pipe from there
to where the existing path is. We'll rip the path out and end the pipe right where the path is now.
What's your estimated cost on that?
$8,000.
And why do you have to put that pipe in? Why can't you just
The slope is too. We have to provide. You can't have too much cross slope on that trail.
Gotcha. Okay.
And it's the edge of the road here comes up on the back side of the culvert comes up about 7 feet, 6-7 feet. So
and the Radisson Drainage District pays for that culvert.
Yep.
Okay. And that's also what's going to dissuade people from using the old path.
You got
same
it.
Exact thing.
You got it.
And this happens when next spring?
Well, I'd like to do it this fall.
This fall.
Yeah, I'd like to do it this fall once we get past the, I may even get on the county's trench and culvert contract schedule now because they're probably not going to get them out here until September, really.
I mean, otherwise, if you don't use the contract, then I think we should pass a motion.
No, my plan is to use the county's contract to have Trolley come
but
in and
grand
do it.
is a good chunk of change. So try to use the contract. If you can't, for some reason they're not available, we'll put it on a future.
Yeah, we'll do an RFP.
But I'm fine with it. So if Radisson needs our blessing...
Well, we got to get the culvert pipe in for them to relocate their path. I'd like to get this done soon enough so that they can pave the path before snow flies. I know they're getting ready to release their contract for paving now or have released it.
I already put that out, but if this gets approved, then I'll just go to my board for additional monies for that.
And okay.
Yeah, so as long as we stay on county contract for the work, we don't need a motion.
Just, okay.
Is there anybody that has an issue with it?
Not at all. Makes sense.
You're good.
Okay.
Thanks, Lynn.
Thanks, Lynn.
Thank you.
I just have a question.
Sure.
Dan Road's 45.
Correct.
Is there any way, maybe we should look at lowering the road to
30? We've actually done two speed studies in the past on that, and the road's 36 feet wide with no driveways entering it, so the DOT has said that it's not.
State.
Yeah, state.
Dictates what that is?
Yes, state dictates all speed limits.
Okay. Just
across.
Because of the park being there.
Yep.
The stop sign's going to help, but.
Yep.
I know we have the speed thing to let people know. But
yep.
After we change it, it'd be interesting to see how many people actually stop at the stop sign.
All we can do is provide as safe an environment as possible for pedestrians accessing the park. You know, okay. That's that, and this is the best thing that I've come up with. If you have other ideas, certainly willing to listen to them.
Enforcement.
Yeah, I mean, without a police force, it's in.
Well, we have a sheriff's patrol.
Well, yeah, but you know what I mean. Unless they're that road is, it's got a decent amount of traffic on it, so it's a tough one to.
Yeah. Thank you.
All right, thanks, Lynn. You're good to go.
Okay, thank you.
All right, thanks, Al.
Yep.
River Grove Hickory Knoll Road proposal by residents. Unless there's any questions, Al has issued another advisory letter on this, in addition to the one that he sent us last year when we considered it. If there's questions, we might want to just hold comments until discussion period when the motion comes up, unless there's any technical questions that you think haven't been addressed.
I'm good.
Okay. Drake's Landing, resident concerns. We received a petition with concern about the striping on Drake's Landing. I had a brief discussion with Jerry. he'd indicated that they were waiting for the road to fully settle and that there was still some loose stone in the
shoulders.
On the shoulders, and that they'll probably sweep that one more time before they put the striping in. There are funds. I don't know who started the rumor that there were no funds for the striping. There's no truth to that. It will be done. It's going to be, I don't know when it's going to be done. It's
probably late August is my guess.
Late August.
Well, once we're in a position to schedule it, we'll schedule it, you know, until the stone stops unraveling. You know, we don't want to stripe it.
Okay. And I did, as far as the funding goes and where it's going to, I just want to, there's been discussions and how this is going to be funded. Striping can be funded through the whole town fund if it's a restriping of a faded stripe. When it's part of a resurfacing project, and this is a resurfacing project because we oil and stoned it, it will come out of the highway budget. That's direct from the comptroller's, one of the higher-ups in the comptroller's office. That's the second time we verified that. So the funding will be taken from highway. It's around $5,300. $5,300.
How much?
$5,300. So I will, there's residents here?
Yes.
Yep.
I just want to make sure that this is going to go through. We went through this last year where we hit when Gene was here before, when we're going to do the road, didn't do the road. I spoke to Jerry. I was one that brought up about a fund, where the money was going to get budgeted from. And Jerry and I had a conversation about that. So I brought up that up to Mr. Ellis. And so it wasn't a rumor. I said it. And I heard it from Jerry. So my understanding, it was probably caught in another budget. I understand that. We as residents just wanted to see it striped. And we didn't want to have the same thing happen this year. That happened last year. We
yeah.
waited and waited, and all of a sudden it got too cold. You can't stripe. You can't pave. That's all I'm coming.
No, the reason why we didn't do it, yeah, the reason why we didn't do it last year is because we didn't surface the road last year.
Look at it this way: since I'm sitting here in the room, we made a lot of progress already. We already got it resurfaced.
I understand. Right. I just want to take the next step
yeah.
and make it a safe
yeah, we
place.
We just want to do a final sweep down the edges to make sure we're not striping over loose stone.
No,
and then
it is a little
stripes
loose.
Disappear.
Right.
Yeah.
It is a little loose. We're going to do another sweep between now and the end of August. And so by the end of August, we should have it striped. Can I say that?
Oh, I would say as soon as possible. I mean,
okay.
The road has hardened off really well.
Yep.
It really has. And
I was on it today. Looks good.
Yeah. And there is a couple feet of what can appear to be a little loose on the
edge.
I know the stripe. I also want to determine exactly
in
how hard you want the stripe. And I heard there's things there too.
When they call the plat man. So all they're doing, we've done a bunch of stuff. All they're doing is put the pipe in our easement.
No, I understand. You want me to put something that says you need to prepare a deed restriction.
Yeah,
well,
but you're trying to use the fog line for
that's what we've always done the best
to give people a safe lane to travel.
There's a lot of people with a lot of bicycle traffic that go off on both sides of the road.
So we kind of, I kind of want to determine
cost of
because that is
the home.
Can you send me one
in Radisson?
Yeah,
cars will travel down the road a lot faster than they should.
Okay.
I don't want to get the cars traveling in the center so close. There'll be a problem with that way either, just to give so much control. You know, Al and I will discuss it. We'll look at what the books say. But I'm thinking in the 4 or 5 foot range in from the shoulder. That gives someone a chance to pass each other on a bike or whatever they're doing.
Does Radisson have
we do 6 foot. Yeah, we do 2 12-foot lanes.
My question was going to be
2 6-foot shoulders.
New York State DOT type standard that I'm sure doing
out.
Because I'm not sure that
we're in
position.
Yeah, I'll take
that. We would have to do it by the book. So we couldn't do it by your book. We have to do it.
Yeah, we would do it with 2 12-foot drive lanes and then 2 6-foot shoulders. The road's 36 feet. Yep.
Okay. 212?
2 12-foot drive lanes and then a 2 6-foot shoulders. Yep.
Okay.
Can I ask a question of Jerry? When you're out and you're sweeping drinks, I don't know if any of the concerns or complaints have made it to you, but some people have mentioned to me that the entrance Drakeson 31 is kind of like got a washboard effect.
That's due to the type of road that was put in back when it was reconstructed, not due to what we did. It was a cold process road, and when you take the amount of heavy trucks, trash trucks, buses, buses aren't that heavy, but your heavier trucks coming down to the stop line, okay? When they're applying their brakes with their weight, that's a softer type of a base road, and that's what's created that little washboard effect. And if you so much as vary your driving 1 foot left or right, you'll notice there's none.
Got it.
So, you know, it's due to the years the road's been in place and the heavy trucks applying their brakes to come to the stop at Route 31. So, the last 20 feet or so is state road anyway, it's not us. So, yes, I wish there's something we could do to eliminate that, but we could put something in there, it'd be temporary at best. You know, just do it again.
Okay.
So, slow down when you come to the stop sign, it won't be. That's about the best I can tell you.
Well, I appreciate the explanation. I can at least pass that on when people bring it to my attention.
Yeah. It was a cold process road.
Jerry, thank you. Joe, thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Yep, no problem. Okay, Mastriani Engineering Pipe Laying Survey, Fitzpatrick Site Plan.
So we've done a bunch of these in the past. This actually, if you look on the site, on the drawing, it got cut off. The homes on either side of this house have already put the pipe in. He's just putting up, extending between the two pipes to put two catch basins in and tying everything together. I would say about half the houses in this section have put pipe in that ditch. So this is just the next one.
Okay. Okay, here's a big one. Al and I have been working on this for some time. It's been held up for a number of reasons. PSC had to make a ruling that affected streetlight conversions. We've had ESCOs come in, which are basically companies that specialize in modernizing or bringing in more energy efficient, whether it's lighting fixtures or mechanicals. They specialize in working with municipalities so that the savings actually help fund the improvement project. There were a bunch of questions that had to be answered before we could move forward. Some of those things, actually all of them, have taken place.
Yeah,
the PSC made a ruling, yeah, and National Grid came back with
our buyout
costs for lights.
I apologize, it doesn't look like it got printed in here. It's multiple pages, so I'll email it to everybody. We got SmartWatt gave us a package outlining what the payback would be. Previous estimates we got before we got the buyout from National Grid had our payback at around 7 years. Our payback with the buyout, now that we actually have a buyout, which is just shy of $1 million for our 536 lights, our payback is in year six. So in year six, we start to see positive cash flow if we move forward with the ESCO. Our next step is I'm going to be putting out a RFP for proposals to do the ESCO. Beauty of an ESCO is it doesn't hurt our bonding power. They're actually bonding on our behalf. Once the bond is paid, well, we own the infrastructure, and essentially we're leasing it from them while the bond's being paid. Once the bond is paid, it all transfers to us. A couple things that we have to
consider
are dig safe utility locations.
Insurance. Maintenance.
And those are things that we're going to ask to be included in the RFP on how we want to do that. So that's our next step. My goal is to have that RFP out in the next couple weeks, probably with a return in September from interested vendors. So,
is this separate? We talked about something at the May 3rd
board. Yeah, we were waiting on the buyback for National Grid.
Is that different than this?
No, this is the same thing. It's okay. Just a little bit faster buyback, or a little bit faster payback, okay, because we actually have a solid number from National Grid on what our actual buyout cost is going to be. And it's just shy of $1 million.
Because why did I write down $172,000 back then? I don't know what that was.
That's our estimated annual savings.
Oh, the savings, okay.
I know it's a savings of the people that live in the lighting district.
Yes, yeah, lighting district. Overall lighting district savings of $172,000.
Okay.
Any questions?
Good work.
All right. Drainage district swell, clearing, and maintenance.
So we did an RFP. You've gotten the quotes that we got. And this is resolution.
It is K.
K. So we've got a lot of swales that are overgrown. We've got saplings, poplar, and willow growing up in them. Trying to get a handle on them before they get totally overgrown and we start having sedimentation problems and have to bring in an excavator. It's actually a really good price that we got. Right now I've identified about 15 days potentially. He said thinks he can do it in less than that. I estimate 15 days of work.
What district?
Clinton Heights, Seneca Estates, Fairways North, and Radisson are the four that, and we're not doing everything in those districts. We're
getting ready to do some.
We're going to start the process. We're going to see how far we get this year. Next year, you know, we'll see where we can get to. The last thing I want to do is bankrupt these districts by doing this work, but at the same time, it costs a lot more to remove poplars that are a foot in diameter than it does to remove poplars that are 3 inches in diameter.
So I'm just curious, what it says there's an additional fee if a brush hog skid steer is used. So what are they using?
So right now it's going to be all handwork. Trimmers, chainsaws, wheelbarrows. Most of these are pretty soft and relatively steep banks. He's got a small tracked skid steer type machine with a brush hog head on it that he thinks he can get into some of these areas. If he can, it's going to make it go a lot faster. And I applaud him for doing it. I'm not totally sold that he's really going to be able to use it, but he gave us a price for it with an option. If he can use it, I'm all for it. If it doesn't work out, it's going to be all handwork, guys with heavy duty trimmers and knocking the brush down.
So do we want to set a cap on this, or you just want to keep it open-ended? I mean, you're saying about how many days possibly?
Yeah, I think it's going to be the spots that I have identified right now, I said 15 days in various drainage districts. I think it's 8 days in Radisson, and the other three districts, about seven.
Was it like $3,000 a day?
$2,000.
What's the name of the company that's going to
Distinguished Landscapes.
Oh, it's on there. I'm sorry.
So does he concur with your approximate 15 days?
No, he thinks it'll be less. He thinks he can do it faster than that, so we'll see.
All right, well, you guys just keep an eye on it.
I'll be monitoring what he's doing. And that's just based on my experience of watching our highway guys try to do that stuff. So maybe he is significantly faster. And that's not a shot at the highway guys. It's just a matter of...
They do this all the time. This is what they do.
Yeah, this is... Yeah.
They're equipped better.
Yes. Yes. So that's that one. If anybody's got any questions, or let me know.
You got it. You covered it.
Oil water separator for the highway garage. So, as you guys know, when Gene left, we didn't have a certified operator for our petroleum bulk storage tanks. I got my operator certification.
Wait, we paid a fine.
We paid a $500 fine. I have my operator certification. Lo and behold, once I got my operator certification, they sent me a revised listing of what our petroleum bulk storage tanks contained. And we, lo and behold, there's a 1,000-gallon tank that I was unaware of that is where our floor drains tie into. That's not a bad thing. What's a bad thing is that ours leaks and fills with groundwater. So we just spent $2,300 to pump it because it was full and there's an alarm on it and the alarm was just disconnected, so it wouldn't beep anymore. So we pumped it. The tank's empty right now. Unfortunately, when they installed that tank, it was never tied back into the sanitary sewer. We have sanitary sewers that are available. It's very expensive. Like I said, it was $2,300 to get rid of the waste from that tank this last time we did it. It is worthwhile to put an oil-water separator in that's tied into the sanitary sewer. So it's kind of like a septic tank, but a little different in how the baffles are configured. Oil flows to the top, water goes out the bottom. It's got a high oil sensor on it. When the oil gets to the top of the tank, we have to have it pumped. But it's going to be much smaller volumes of oil. It's going to be, 80 to 100 gallons of oil rather than the 1,100 gallons that we pumped out last time. Paragon gave me a quote of $35,000 is what the last one of these that they did cost. Spoke with Van Buren about what they did with their garage. They sent me a spec of what they used, and they said that, well, their contract was a lump sum contract, but there was some discussion on that unit specifically because the mechanical contractor didn't realize it was in his contract and it tried to hit him up for a $15,000 change order to put the oil water separator in. So we're someplace between $15,000 and $35,000 to get one of these installed. I don't believe there's any contamination around the existing thousand gallon tank that we have. So the cost of removing that shouldn't be bad. We could actually remove that with our own forces. We could even potentially dig to set the new tank, the new oil water separator, and cut down on some costs more. What I'd like, I'm just kind of bringing the board up to speed because I want to get our petroleum bulk storage in compliance because we got a leaking tank. We're technically out of compliance. And I would like to include this in our buildings and grounds budget for 2019. I don't think that tank will fill before the end of the year, but in 2019, and that's one of our would recommend that it be one of our capital improvement projects to get us back in compliance.
Is that, do you think, the priority for capital improvement projects for?
Yes.
Number one.
Because it's number one, because it's non-compliance.
Can't ignore it. So yeah. This is a brand new tank that has oil and water separated.
Correct. We're getting rid of the old tank. The water will go out the sanitary sewer, so we won't be paying to treat
clean water. Oh, so the new tank will be tied into the sanitary sewer.
The new tank will be tied into the sanitary sewer.
You can do that.
They allow you to do that.
Wow.
With proper sensors and monitoring. So that would be the goal of doing this.
Do you need me for anything?
No, I think we're done.
All right, that completes the work session. Does anybody have a need for an executive session? If need be, we're going to have to run that at the end. I've got to run out. I'm going to sit with the Village of Baldwinsville's Highway Committee and answer any questions they might have about the proposed annexation of Lysander Park. With that, we got some time on our hands. If you guys want to go through...
Can I do this?
Yeah, actually, that's a really good idea.
Okay.
We just finished reviewing the entire employee handbook, and there's some outstanding issues that need to be considered, one of which Bob's been working on for us. So I should be back...
By 7.
I'll be back. Yeah, my goal is to be back by, 6:40. Okay. All right.
Okay. One of the topics in the employee handbook is vehicle safety.
Very much.
So I met with the county's risk manager, and to my surprise, he goes, look, instead of reinventing the wheel, probably one of the best vehicle accident report systems is County Parks. Why don't you just copy theirs? So this is all Onondaga County Parks stuff, but there's a blurb in the employee handbook that's this little thing you're looking at, which discusses and talks about employees' policies on vehicle safety. And of course, I mean, I just got this Tuesday, and it talks about county and parks, and it needs to be town of Lysanderized. But then, as you go on, it talks about reporting policies, driver's responsibility if there's an accident, supervisor's responsibility, and the New York State ID 10 form that you should fill out for an accident. So if you guys need a minute, just read through this. I'm going to go through it and get rid of county, get rid of parks, and put town, and cross out anything I don't think is relevant. But I would like to get this done early next week. I'll email it to you guys, and hopefully we can vote on this in 2 weeks.
That's awesome.
And get it done.
And okay. Just so we're all on the same page, I know the answer, but just for the record, this will apply to anybody and everybody that's
a town employee,
including town councilors, including everybody, right?
Yep. Absolutely.
That's what it should be.
Okay.
Good work. So we'll just table that last item.
So, yes.
V.
Yeah.
I think this is the farthest we've ever got, Bob. Have we ever got to V?
No.
I can't have...
Yes, we're pretty close to the end.
We're getting close.
Good.
When we have to go to double letters, we're in trouble.
Okay.
All right. So, got an hour to...
How about sidewalks? Was that discussed at all before I got here?
No.
I know that there was a public hearing for sidewalks. We ended up having to rescind the map plan and report. Have we heard anything?
So we set a new public hearing. Because we changed the parameters. Right. We're having a new public hearing.
Right. Okay. And I think that's at the next board meeting, right?
It's not tonight.
I think so.
Okay.
It says the 16th. On the back of your agenda.
Just wanted to double check because I haven't seen that on the agenda. So,
number 6,
perfect.
Yes.
Yes.
Yep.
1, 2, 3.
Yeah. Bunch. All right. So, are we done here for now?
Shut this
off.
Yes.
Can I ask a question?
Sure.
Do you discuss everything in the town meetings that are on the agenda? I'm just curious. I'm trying to get the lay of the land.
Sometimes we go through them so that everybody's up to speed. Is there one in particular you'd like to discuss?
Of course. The farm law. Like, was that ever discussed in a public meeting?
It'll be discussed at 7 o'clock at the town board meeting at 7 o'clock.
But at work sessions, it has been. No, we have at work sessions in the past. Yes. But not tonight.
Okay. I was just curious. But like, no. I didn't
know. Usually they end up at work sessions first and then follow up later on in a later meeting showing up as an agenda item.
So when was the public discussion about the code? Because I was at the last meeting and there was no public discussion about it.
At what?
Since we
had a public hearing.
When did you talk publicly about it?
We had the public hearing was public discussion.
Right, but you said there was a lot of discussion as amongst town board members.
Prior.
I just misheard you. And I didn't hear any public discussion at the last meeting.
Prior, the public discussion was at the public hearing.
Right, but you're going to vote on it tonight, right?
It's on the agenda.
Well, you're one of five. Do you think you're going to vote on it? I mean, are you going to vote yes? Or are you going to vote no?
Well,
the board doesn't have to disclose what they're voting, when they're voting, or why they're voting. That's part of the legislative process.
I get that's a lot.
And when it comes
up, I'm asking Pete as a counselor how he feels about it because. This affects people sitting right here. And if they gotta wait the way our town board meeting is now, they can ask the board, they don't have to answer it, and then they get to wait and see what the law gets decided, and they never heard one public discussion by this town board other than what they said in the public hearing. We You can ignore me if you want, but you know that's the truth.
There'll be a discussion at 7 o'clock at the
before the vote, so the public.
It's always a discussion. That if someone moves the motion, and then there's any discussion, and then there's discussion. Sometimes it's boilerplate stuff, and there's no discussion needed. Sometimes it's controversial, and that's when discussion happens. So
okay, well, that, I'll ask, did the town get a petition by any group of people asking for this law? Did a group of people come other than one person who asked you about the law a year ago?
Yeah, I'm not going to answer this question.
Okay, I guess that's a no.
Which law?
Usually most laws get created because there's a group of residents with a concern. So if there was just one person with a concern out of 24,000 people, I don't understand why the town has to make a law when they have an HOA that could cover this. The HOA is choosing to skirt their responsibility.
Kevin, were you at the public hearing?
Yeah, I was.
Okay, so then you gave us
your out of our counselors.
There will be a discussion period. You'll hear. And there are many people who know where I stand. And I assume if there's other people who have talked to the community members, they know how they stand. But there will be a comment period, as you know.
Right. Did
before this shows up.
Did the town board get any other input besides the public hearing on this issue?
Absolutely.
But I have certainly been out in the community talking to people, yes. Again, I'm not going to speak for other people.
Well, then I would guess it's going to get voted down because most of the people at the public hearing didn't want
it. I don't want to speak for Mrs. Hank, but I think what she was asking was that have the board members discussed with each other, not necessarily during meetings, this issue. I know that you have because it's been on your work session agenda, but I don't think she's been to too many work sessions, so she's just trying to understand how it works.
Yeah, exactly. And I just, to clarify, there's only been one work session that was recorded that I heard where this was discussed among the board. So that I was just wondering if there was any other times that the board got together and discussed this.
Right. I have not sat with the board as a group, as a whole. I have spoken with individuals on the board regarding just the way I have been to your house. I have spoken individually to people. They know how I feel. But as a group, we don't typically get together unless it's within this setting.
I think we're done.